The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. This is really the first opportunity I've had to thank Pastor Dudley Rutherford for filling in for me last Friday. I had to take a day off, and we actually called Dudley that morning, and he said, sure, I'll come in. And in truth, I didn't hear any of the program, but it's always a blessing to have Dudley come in, and we hear him obviously weeknights with Lift Up Jesus at 7 o'clock. So thank you to Dudley for coming in. And it's good to be back. Speaking of good, it's good to hear that Vody Bachum is on the road to healing. If you don't know, Dr. Vody Bachum was suffering from heart failure. Here's the latest. Friday, he was discharged from the Mayo Clinic after a successful surgery for heart failure. Bachum was quoted as saying, "We thank God for a very successful surgical procedure. Everything went well, and Lord willing, I should make a full recovery." According to Bachum's doctors, the heart failure was believed to have been induced by two arrhythmias. Bachum said, quote, "This is good news because the procedure I underwent is designed to eliminate such arrhythmias. This is allowing my heart to recover and remodel. In other words, I'm not expected to stay on the heart failure track, which may ultimately or would have led to possibly a transplant, but prognosis is I will regain full heart health." If you don't know who Vody Bachum is, he serves as the Dean of Theology at African Christian University in Zambia. And he first started to experience symptoms back in November. And early December, symptoms got worse after he concluded his winter tour in January, working hard, and then the heart ailment was diagnosed, and praise God, he's okay. He traveled from Africa to the U.S. At one point, doctors said he was in the final stages of a catastrophic event and within an hour or so of death. But we praise God, Vody, by all indications, he is going to be just fine. If you don't know who Vody Bachum is, let me play an audio clip. Last summer, when we heard so much about social ills and protesting, depending on your ideological view, peaceful protesting or some concerned about the protests. And we heard all about racism and some of the history of this country. This is a little, I guess, part of a sermon of Vody Bachum.
There are great ills, great sins, great problems, great wrongs that need to be rectified. All that's true. God has given us a way to deal with those things, to rectify those things. He's given us his all-sufficient word to deal with those things. Let us trust the word of God, not our feelings, not our inclinations. Not our own personal assumptions or assertions, but the Word of God. Let us do what the book says, and I'll leave you with this. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Listen to this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this for you. Because this is another great irony of ethnic Gnosticism. Another great irony is that sometimes, and it's, I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes I feel like I'm being robbed of my sanctification. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is if these issues that we're dealing with that are now, you know, at the forefront, if these issues are only about the hearts of white people that need to be made right, then the stuff in me doesn't get dealt with. And I want you to know that as I'm reading this, I'm reading this for me. And I'm asking myself, what does this mean for you when a white brother says something that is offensive? What do you do? Do you fold your arms and wait for him to be sorry? What do you do? What does a non-black person do if they run into ethnic Gnosticism and feel like it's not fair? What do you do? Well, the answer is here. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what my book says.
Pastor Vody Bachum. And we keep him and his family in our prayers. 888-528-2557. Vody touched a little bit on the racism issue locally here in Los Angeles. Last week, Black Lives Matter Los Angeles announced a new campaign to decertify the two largest law enforcement unions in Southern California as labor unions and to disband them. According to BLM LA, they want both the Police Protective League, the union for members of the LAPD, and the Association for LA Deputy Sheriffs, the union for members of the LA County Sheriff's Department, to be removed from the LA County Federation of Labor, which is the largest countywide collection union. Calls for law enforcement defunding and police union decertification have been ongoing since last summer. While BLM has advocated for large amounts of defunding, Los Angeles has cut $150 million in November of 2020 from the budget, causing the department to cut 250 officers. Many activists have said that's not nearly enough and have pushed for more measures against law enforcement, culminating on the calls by BLM last week to remove and dissolve the unions, as well as exposed alleged what they call, quote, anti-blackness, end quote, shown by the Police Protective League. BLM LA co-founder Melinda Abdullah also spoke, saying that defunding the police is also still a major goal of BLM LA. Quote, defunding is just shorthand for abolition, end quote. Interesting how last summer this was, boy, at the very mention of such things, the phone banks would be blasting off. Somehow this idea of racism, which exists, there's no doubt about it. We live in a fallen world. We have sin. Racism is one of the many sins. And we in the church, we need to work hard and stand shoulder to shoulder to address such things. But In the same respect, as I've said many times on the program, I'm not in the belief that there is such a thing as systemic racism. Or maybe somebody can explain what that means, that term means. 888-528-2557. Later in the hour, a commentary entitled Lies the Supreme Court Told Me. We had a caller on earlier who loves to disagree but is not patient. Usually will call in. If he's not taken within a couple of minutes, he hangs up. Now, I don't know if he was talking about the Supreme Court, but on the screen it said courts and the affidavits were not factual. That's why they were thrown out. So later in the hour, a commentary, Lies the Supreme Court Told Me. But what I want to emphasize in the remaining time of this segment, I want to talk a little bit about the Equality Act, because we're going to be hearing more about it in the coming days and weeks. It was voted in the House yesterday in approval, or actually last week. Now it goes to the Senate, where it looks like it'll be a 50-50 split, possibly. And then Kamala Harris will be the deciding vote. But we don't know. There may be some people that don't go the way of the partisanship. And no mystery, Joe Biden, he'll fall all over himself to sign this thing. But what is the Equality Act? There's a commentary entitled, "It's the greatest threat to religious freedom in our lifetime." We'll share that in a moment. But first, I want to share an audio clip for you and with you about this very topic. What are we doing? What about the Equality Act? Who is Rachel Levine? What about transgenderism? There's a story on the other side I'll share about actually a gay campground that's all men. They're angry about the Equality Act and the whole idea of transgenderism. We'll get to that and more. 888-528-2557. Tammy Bruce was on Tucker Carlson last week talking about this very issue.
Well, Rachel Levine is the Biden administration's nominee for Assistant Secretary of Health. Prior to the nomination, Rachel Levine was best known for overseeing thousands of nursing home deaths in Pennsylvania. But you're not supposed to worry about that because Rachel Levine identifies as transgender and uses she and her pronouns. So it's historic. Rachel Levine believes anyone can identify as transgender, even 8-year-old boys. And if that means minors getting gender reassignment surgery, castration, or giving them puberty blockers, it's totally fine. Rand Paul had a few questions about this today at a hearing. Here's how it went.
I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions?
Simple question. Tammy Bruce is the president of Independent Women's Voice, and she joins us to assess. Tammy, great to see you tonight. So I guess what bothers me about this once again, using the cover of identity politics or someone's personal choices to cloak public policy questions that the rest of us have a right to answers to. And I think that's what we just saw.
Yeah. Well, it is. And what we're also seeing is the insult to transgender people, and even with your near a Tandon segment. It's the same position there. It's the choosing of people because they fit on a game board in some position, regardless of their competency. And you've got Tandon, you've got Levin, you've got Becerra, who are completely incompetent, and yet they check a box. And of course, instead of asking, what can you accomplish? How good are you? We ask, or certainly the Biden administration and the left asks, what are you? You know, how are you going to look?
Right.
And this is what leads us down to this problem. And it eliminates the ability. And they think you're not supposed to criticize or ask hard questions. Already Rand Paul's being called a transphobe. But it really is about, regardless of your position on transgenderism, these are children. Children do not understand concepts. We don't let them decide what everyone's going to have for dinner. We don't allow them to do the shopping for a reason. They're immature. Their brains are not finished growing yet. Their bodies are not finished. And yet this should be the simplest answer in the world. But now it's wrapped up in leftist politics. And, you know, I applaud Rand Paul for asking, because, you know, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to ask near-attending questions. And when it comes to who you are, transgender or an Asian American woman, the issue becomes be the best person you can be and demand that if you're going to be chosen, some person from your group is going to be chosen for a high job, that they know what they're doing and that they're not jerks. Levin has been responsible for the horrible COVID response in Pennsylvania. According to the New York Times, 6 out of the 10 worst nursing home disaster nursing homes are in Pennsylvania. She moved her own mother out of a nursing home into a hotel just before she issued the order forcing nursing homes to accept COVID patients. That's who this person is. She's an embarrassment. The transgender community should be appalled. Let's not look for historic. Let's look for good so that we can actually get on our feet.
At this point, competent would be historic. Given where we're going, it's unbelievable. Tammy, great to see you. Thank you for that clear explanation.
Yeah.
Small requirement.
Tucker Carlson and Tammy Bruce last Friday, I believe. Speaking of the transgender revolution, transgender activists are slamming a campground for gay men because it excluded women who say they are transgender men. Owners of Camp Boomerang RV Park and Campground, a new private gay campground in Orleans, Michigan, made it clear that the campground is for men only, effectively banning transgender men, biological females who consider themselves male. Co-founder Brian Quinn of Camp Boomerang said, quote, "Camp Boomerang is a private, members-only RV park and campground that allows only guys. Defining guy as a person with a certain anatomical part who presents himself as male and has a state-issued ID that says male." He said, "It's our hope that everyone who visits our camp enjoys a comfortable, safe, non-confrontational environment going forward. Being a private membership-only entity allows us the ability to build a like-minded atmosphere," end quote. The statement from the new campground drew heavy backlash on social media, with transgender activists accusing the owners of acting in a blatantly, quote, transphobic manner, end quote, by barring biological women from the private campground. By the way, a PSA about the campground said the terms of being transphobic are disgusting. Quote, "In our community, we fight for each other's rights and we stand together. We cannot allow for this type of exclusion, and frankly, it makes me sick." The response from the transgender community: do not support this campground. They are bigots and are transphobic. Hate is hate, end quote. Where's it all going? The Equality Act is front and center in D.C. You may have seen President Biden talking about, we need to pass this immediately. By the way, I've yet to get a call, and I don't need to get a call, from anyone that you identify yourself as a Christian, you voted for this administration, for whatever reasons, and how's that going for you? About 40 days in here, seeing some of the executive orders, seeing some of the policy implementations, whether it's about immigration, the Equality Act, I go down the line. We hit Syria the other day. Was that a good thing? I have no need to be right here, but it boggles my mind for people that profess to be Christians voting for this administration? Are you surprised by any of these policies? You shouldn't be. But here we are. Now we've got the Equality Act. The House passes it. It will go to the Senate. If it passes the Senate, Joe Biden will. I'm surprised he doesn't have a rubber stamp by now. He's signed so many executive orders. 888-528-2557. And why should we as Christians be concerned about the Equality Act? You may say, Frank, this sounds so political. What are you doing? Call me. I'd love to have a conversation. Because if you don't think this is a threat to religious freedom, well, then maybe we can have a conversation. And or on the other side, I'll share a commentary that says one and the same, that the Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom in our lifetime. That and your calls as well, 888-528-2557. Also later in the hour, lies the Supreme Court told me. That and much more as we continue with the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I am just a potpourri of useless trivia. Just ask me, I'll throw stuff out there that in the bigger scheme of things makes no difference whatsoever, but I've retained little tidbits for some reason. You are going to be hearing more about the Equality Act, and if you profess faith in Christ or have any faith for that matter, and you think, politically speaking, this is something you should not even consider, I would beg to differ with you and ask you to reconsider. Let me read this commentary. If this doesn't speak deeply to you and your walk as a follower of Christ, I don't know what will. Gary Hamrick has written a commentary entitled, "The Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom in our lifetime. We must stand against it." Now, to say is the greatest threat in our lifetime says a lot. So what does Gary Hamrick have to say? Religious liberty in America, slowly eroding for years, now faces its greatest threat in a generation. The so-called Equality Act threatens the First Amendment and freedom of religion on a scale we haven't seen in decades. It forces churches, synagogues, mosques, and other religious organizations like Christian colleges and universities to recognize, quote-unquote, gender identity and, quote-unquote, sexual orientation as legally protected classifications despite how those lifestyles might conflict with deeply held religious beliefs. The passage of the Equality Act, H.R. 5, by the House of Representatives on February the 25th, which was last week. We have a new calendar up. It's March 1st today. Look at that. It inches the bill closer to becoming law pending Senate approval and the near certain signature of President Biden. Are you kidding? Near certain signature? It is the most dangerous piece of legislation in our lifetime concerning religious freedom. So what does that mean? Here are some specifics, according to Gary Hamrick. Imagine a church youth camp where teenage boys would normally be housed in separate sleeping quarters from teenage girls. Not under H.R. 5. Any boy who identifies as female would be legally entitled to bunk with the girls. Or any girl who identifies as a male would be legally entitled to bunk with the boys. According to the Equality Act, any church that prohibits such action would be violating the individual's civil rights and could face legal action. You may say, well, that's pretty far-fetched. Try this scenario. Imagine a Sunday school class where 8-year-old Paul says he's really Paula. and wants to wear a dress to class or use the girls' bathroom. If that made other children feel confused or their parents uncomfortable, too bad. Again, we're talking about an 8-year-old. Any attempt by the church to deny the child's freedom to attend the class dressed as he or she chooses, pick your pronoun, to use the restroom of his or her choice, or any attempt to counsel the child to accept their God-given gender would be a violation of the child's civil rights and the church could be legally liable. Seems unlikely? Hardly. Many of you remember this moment, and some of you still voted for this guy. And I'm still waiting to hear a call or read an email. If you're a Christian and you voted for the new administration, how's that going for you? Hamrick writes, even candidate Joe Biden told attendees at a town hall meeting when he was campaigning that an 8-year-old child should have the freedom to determine his or her gender. Hamrick writes, really? Most 8-year-olds can't even determine the time of day, but somehow they're wiser than God in determining their own gender. Have we lost our minds? You want another example? Check this one out. Imagine that a homosexual man is not hired by a church on the grounds that his lifestyle is incompatible with the church's statement of faith and biblical beliefs. Under the Equality Act, that would be discrimination. And the church could be sued and or lose its tax-exempt status. Is this microphone on? And the board is dark. Hamrick writes, the scenarios are endless. And so are the ramifications for churches, synagogues, mosques, and religious institutions across America if the Equality Act becomes law. Religious liberty will be thrown onto the ash heap of American history. The First Amendment will be gutted. Religious freedom will become a legal battle to maintain rather than a legal right to be enjoyed. Enshrined in the first paragraph of our Declaration of Independence is the recognition that our laws and liberties are founded upon, quote, the laws of nature and nature's God, end quote. And the second paragraph is the acknowledgement that our unalienable rights come not from government, but from God, our Creator. And the last paragraph is the statement that our nation was born with a, quote, firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, end quote. Hamrick writes, but over time we've forgotten God. And worse than forgetting God is the usurping of his authority by drafting laws that dishonor him because they conflict with his moral code. God alone determines what is right and wrong, what is true and false, what is good and evil. And when mankind decides that he knows better than God, we invite our own national disgrace and eventual destruction, says Gary Hamrick. Finally, he writes, in a free country, people have the freedom to deny God's righteous standard. But that should not infringe upon the rights of those who wish to comply with his righteous standard. We should love and respect all people, regardless of their gender dysphoria or sexual orientation. We should want for them the same life-changing transformation that Jesus offers for all people who accept him by faith. But we must also courageously defend religious freedom in America for all people and not cave to the woke culture. After all, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Gary Hamrick is the senior pastor of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. His radio ministry is called Cornerstone Connection, and you can find that commentary all across social media. The Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom in our lifetime. So what about that? 888-528-2557. Can we have a conversation? Even for those of you that say, look, I'm just going to be honest here. I've kind of heard the Equality Act. I didn't really know what it is. That's okay. We have to begin with at least speaking the truth before we can move forward. It's kind of like in my men's ministry, guys that are really messed up, when we try to come alongside and maybe help disciple them or get them some accountability, we ask them, you know, how are you doing? And be honest. If you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you're isolated, you've messed up, get it out first. And maybe part of the challenge with the church is that we've created a culture by which people don't feel safe to share how broken they are. I don't know. I look at some Christian leaders. We find things out. How can this happen? Well, there's a lot of complexity to it. But just maybe in part, we've created an atmosphere by which one can't even be honest about their sin or their brokenness. And that's why I'm extra attentive to the idea of having a conversation on the air. I don't care if you're a Rhodes Scholar or if you didn't go to school. This isn't necessarily a reality that has to do with education and information. It ultimately has to do with knowledge, which hopefully leads to wisdom, which is what the Bible is all about. And so if you want to have a conversation, we have open lines, 888-528-2557. If you have something directly with H.R. 5, which passed the House last week, it's going on to the Senate, anything at all, I'd relish the opportunity to have a conversation with you. We have open lines. And again, you may want to pose the question, what does this have to do with me being a Christian? Good question. If you didn't hear the conversation or the commentary just shared by Gary Hamrick, that this is at the very least a threat to religious freedom, then maybe we can have that conversation as well. 888-528-2557. Later in the hour, lies the Supreme Court told me. That and much more is next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. 888-528-2557 are always the phone numbers to call into the program. Our email address is franksontag@kkla.com. Later in this segment, an update on the recall Gavin Newsom attempt, as well as yet another bizarre story that evidently has surfaced on social media about what our governor does. At least it's the do as I say, not as I do. We have another one here. Talking about the Equality Act, here's a little bit of what happened last week on Capitol Hill. Representative Craig Stube, who is a Republican from Florida, triggered a bunch of God-hating Democrats after he pointed out that God makes people uniquely male or female. The congressman said the following: when men or women claim to be able to choose their own sexual identity, they're making a statement that God did not know what he was doing when he created them. He said the gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. Stube said, we're seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today. By the way, you all remember Jerry Nadler? He has been on some oversight committees. He's a Democrat from New York. You want to hear his response to what Stubbe said? Quote, "What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress," end quote. Hussein in Anaheim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. I'm going to say something that's going to get me into a lot of trouble. But, you know, in England a few years ago, they had this play in one of their theaters. And it was saying, you know, it was a play where Jesus is gay. And, you know, the Christians, we've learned to become so tolerant of everything. They didn't say a peep. Mm-hmm. But you know who spoke up?
Yep.
The Muslims.
That's right. That's right.
The Muslims said, hey, you can't talk about our prophet like that.
Yep.
You know what? And I'm thinking, if in America, not only are Christians not saying anything, they're not doing anything, they're supporting this. They're supporting this agenda. You know, I think God's going to use the Muslim to stand up and say, you know what? God made us men and women, you know, just as a rebuke to the church, because we've just so compromised with the world, man.
Yeah. Hussein, thank you for your call and for pointing that out. Gavin Newsom's recall campaign is close to 1.99 million signatures. The deadline is the 10th. RecallGavin2020.com. By the way, comedian George Lopez posted a TikTok video last week that showed he and the governor hanging out indoors at a restaurant in Fresno. It doesn't stop. Fresno is still in the governor's most restrictive category of lockdown restrictions. That would be the purple category, where indoor dining is strictly prohibited. Lopez posted the video, him and Newsom inside. The governor's office denies that he dined at the restaurant. But what's clear from the video, he was there inside the restaurant with other people. Makes you ask the question, why is he allowed to mingle with his Hollywood buddies inside restaurants that remain closed to the public? More of the rules for thee, but not for me. Let me close with a commentary, and I'll try to get through this quickly. It's powerful. Roger Simon is a screenwriter, and on the Supreme Court recently, deciding not to hear some of the cases of alleged election fraud, he writes, "Lies the Supreme Court told me. In a fashion we must now regard as entirely predictable, the Supreme Court of the U.S. has dismissed, i.e., thrown out, the various state challenges to the 2020 presidential election. Any decisions on these challenges were determined by the majority to be moot because the election had already been decided. Although Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch objected." Simon writes, in other words, a stolen presidential election, if it happens, we don't really know in this case, has an almost immediate statute of limitations. Although the results of that election can affect hundreds of millions, if not, as in the case of the United States, nearly the entirety of humanity. This is true, apparently, for a majority of the Supremes, although all sorts of crimes, some not particularly onerous, have statutes of limitations that can go on for years. Go figure. Writes Roger Simon. If I sound cynical about the Supreme Court, Simon says, I have to admit I am. It's even true of the law in general, which I want to believe in and admire, but increasingly no longer do. In the real world, legal results tend to mirror A.J. Liebling's 1960 comment in The New Yorker about the press. Quote, freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own it. End quote. The law belongs to those who have the deepest control of a society at the time. We'd like Lady Justice to be blind, but in actuality, she's a cyborg with all-seeing, rotating night vision similar to the kind you might find on many urban street corners today from Beijing to Chicago, using the latest algorithms to isolate presumed enemies of the state. And yes, Simon writes, I'm no lawyer. I haven't taken even one course in law and spent my time in college and graduate school studying now questionable white men, such as John Milton. But over my decades as a Hollywood screenwriter and then as founder and CEO of PJ Media, I employed many lawyers, some very good, some not so much, and came to understand the limitations on what they did. Contracts, it turned out, weren't worth much more than the paper they were written on unless both parties wanted to honor them. Enforcing infringements, unless they were hugely egregious, was rarely worth the expense and effort. Lawsuits, win or lose, tend to take over your life in highly deleterious ways. Few want to get involved. The Supreme Court is an example of the system. An organization that puts its finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, assuming that's even necessary, and then writes its opinions based on preconceived notions designed to offend the least number. Simon writes, sadly, it's the last place to look for justice in a presidential election, or anything really, that tilts against that prevailing wind. They wouldn't even, as Justice Clarence Thomas requested, explore the blatantly unconstitutional malfeasances in various states where unelected officials clearly and unlawfully superseded the legislatures in changing election law by fiat, something we would look and think would only happen in totalitarian countries. But Simon writes, but it happened here, my friends, several times. We could cite the Supreme Court for dereliction of duty, or we could look elsewhere for justice. Roger Simon is an award-winning novelist, co-founder of PJ Media, and now editor-at-large for the Epoch Times. By the way, many of you write me, hey, can you give me a reputable site, a place I can get information? I would say try the Epoch Times, or some pronounce it as the Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, Epoch Times. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow for another program. We have a tentative guest at 3 o'clock tomorrow that is not confirmed. And one way or another, you're invited to join us every afternoon from 3 to 5 right here on KKLA. And if you have any questions, comments, or you'd like to send a confidential email, you can always message me at franksontag@kkla.com. And to be fully in disclosure, I read most of my emails. If I start reading and you're one of the rare ones that, let's just say, you needed to dump, and not necessarily in a very respectful sort of way, I just move on rather quickly. But I do read most of my emails. franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.